The Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education, presents The Big Noise from Winnetka. Ah, yeah, The Big Noise from Winnetka. Man, how I'm getting to hate that name. They don't call me that because I whistle like Bobby Haggard on the record, but because I come from a little town by that name, and also because I have a natural bent for talking. The guys just added the two together, and so I'm The Big Noise for short. You see, I'm stationed in the Philippines now and really sold on the country. But the rest of my buddies aren't so sure. Every time I start a pitch, they stop me with some new things that I can't answer. Well, coming over here from Pearl, I met a professor on the plane who has lived here a long time and who has all the answers. He told me that if I ever ran out of information, to come see him and he'd help me out. Well, that's where I'm going now, in town to have lunch with him and get some new answers. Man, I sure hope he's there, because I really need those answers.
Why, you've outdone yourself, Pedro. My sincere thanks. This private room is just what I wanted.
It was a pleasure. The food is, well, it is not like before the war, but everything is clean and the best I can make.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with this wine.
Pedro, if you aren't too busy, won't you sit with us? You know, Sergeant, Pedro is a graduate of Manila University. Owning a restaurant is a new sideline for him.
I hope that soon I will be teaching sociology at the university.
Oh, that's fine.
Just as soon as the rebuilding is completed.
Yeah, they ought to rebuild a couple of brains, I know. If those characters in the barracks keep shooting off their mouths, every soldier in the islands isn't going to be worth the salt.
What are they saying?
Well, it's about... Well, just that the fellows don't...
Oh, go on, Sergeant. Pedro doesn't mind.
Please, Sergeant. If it is about my country or my people, I should know of it. If what you say is true, it will be accepted. If it is false, we will put it in the sunlight to die.
Okay, we'll put our cards on the table. Now, I'm not saying that every fellow in uniform is an ambassador of the United States. Maybe he should be, but he's human, and if he gets a wrong idea and no one straightens him out, well, do you follow?
But of course.
Well, okay. Last night we were shooting the bull, and Steve was saying...
I've been on the islands longer than any of you, Bert, so I know what goes here.
Steve's right. He's been over here long enough to know.
Some of you guys are just off the boat, so you ought to know what the score is. Stay away from the gals. I'll tell you something else. When I first came over, I figured maybe I'd learn a few things. You know, all about the Philippines, Eastern civilization, that kind of stuff. Well, there's nothing to it. I learned something all right, yeah. These Filipinos will steal your pants if you haven't got them nailed down. And civilization? Well, whatever they've got, they copied it from the state, from jukeboxes to jeeps. Carbon paper is what
you're
like
for. You. You should have seen the boys, Professor. I think they believe him.
Did you?
No. But I admit I'm not very fast with my words, and... Well, that's why I called you up.
Sergeant, I spend some time in your country. If, as you say, picked a girl up in the United States, would you not be afraid that she was not well?
No, I guess that answers Steve very nicely.
Yeah, why didn't I think of it? The same everywhere.
And for Steve's charge that Filipinos will steal everything in sight, you might pass this on to him. America has its own thieves, too. Now, when foreigners think of gangsters, they associate them with the U.S. And that, Sergeant, in the United States, where no bombs drop... Where there were no epidemics due to improper food supplies and sanitation.
Right now, there is a good deal of stealing in the Philippines. Look about you and see how hungry and desperate my people are. Not long ago, I was passing one of your army warehouses. It was late, and in the light of the moon, I saw...
You over there!
Don't shoot! Please, don't shoot! I'm coming!
I have no gun.
Oh, in the darkness, I thought you were a soldier.
What are you doing here? Why, I see. You came for food.
Is it a crime to be hungry? My sister works for the Americans, but it costs her more than what she earns in a day to eat a small meal downtown. I was in the scouts. I want to work, but I cannot find work.
You had better put your food back. You do not want to steal.
This is the first time I have done so. But it is strange.
What do you mean?
When the American soldier takes something, I saw one in a ruined house. They call it scrounging. Is it different from stealing? This I cannot understand. How can something be right for one and wrong for another?
Just as difficult, Sergeant, to explain to a Filipino that the action of one American is not necessarily the action of all Americans, as it is to show Americans that they must not judge all Filipinos by a few.
Did Steve charge that Filipinos were lazy, slow-moving, like to sleep all day?
He mentioned it. Oh, I was able to get back out of him one thing. He was beating his gums about it.
Wait till you fellas start driving around Manila. If you don't knock off a dozen pedestrians the first day, you're either lucky or a whiz.
Yeah, they're like flies. Walk right out in front of you.
Wait a second, Freddy. You ever been in England?
Oh, what's that got to do with
Plenty. This? In England, they drive on the left side, just like here in Manila. And we come along and change the system to what we do in the States. It's not easy for them to get used to it.
Oh, listen to him.
Yeah, listen. If you'd have been in London, you wouldn't be talking so loud. Lots of soldiers wound up in a bed because they didn't remember to look to the right when they were crossing a street.
Maybe that's right, but how dumb can you be? At the rate they're going, it'll take 10 years for them to get used to traffic.
Well, we were in England 5 years, and we didn't learn. And furthermore, you and Freddy haven't got the slightest
idea. Well done, Sergeant.
Well, that must have put Steve and Freddy in their places.
Not quite. I've got to have more ammunition than that.
Professor, my brother Tomas can take good care of this place. I think if we take the sergeant to certain places in the city to see various things, you will be able to twist this Steve around his finger. What do you say?
Well, Sergeant, if you think you can spare the time...
I'm on a pass until 6 tonight.
Good. First, let us go to a funeral. There are several listed in today's paper.
Funeral? Hey!
It will give you an opportunity to see things which the American troops believe are queer. But I assure you, there is always an explanation.
You will come to the party, Pedro?
May I bring my friend?
Of course.
Mr. Batista wants us to attend the party to the deceased 9 days from now.
You always hold a party when someone dies?
Oh, naturally. It will be a grand party. Very enjoyable.
Isn't that a funny thing to do when someone dies?
Not at all. To you, it may look queer, but it is our custom. Perhaps your custom with the dead looks strange to us.
What custom, for instance?
For instance, you wear black, do you not?
Yeah.
You do that because in ancient times, it was the belief that the dead person's soul would come back and injure the living. So, your ancestor used to wear black and darken the room in order to escape being seen. It, too, is a strange custom.
That's straight, Professor?
Mr. Bautista is quite accurate, Sergeant.
Will you stay for the music? We have a fine band and very exciting song and marches.
Is that part of the funeral ceremony?
Always. The dead man would not want his relative to grieve unnecessarily for him.
We would like to stay, but there are many things we must show the sergeant. You understand, Mr. Bautista?
Oh, absolutely. Perhaps another time. There will be a funeral here next week.
Okay, we'll come back and see you next week. Boy, those houses sure look beat up. It's a wonder to me that people can live in them.
Well, the islands used to have the highest standard of living in the Orient. But compared to our country, that was still low. Now, after the war, even that standard took a nosedive. Those slums are typical of the aftermath of war. Remember, too, Sergeant, that at home, we, too, are faced by a gigantic housing problem.
Steve said the Filipinos don't mind living in a mess.
We have had the reputation of being the cleanest people in this part of the world. We would still be if we could get the soap.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Filipinos yelling for independence. Then after they get it, they still want Uncle Sam to foot the bill.
Pedro?
For that answer, I suggest we go to the Manila High School and speak to some of the students in the advanced history class.
During your revolution, Senor Sergeant, your great Tomas Paine realized that only through revolution could the colonies become free. Reason and logic were buried in defeat. It was the only possible way then. And Tomas Paine even went to England later to see if he could accomplish the same thing there. If he were alive today, he would say, it is just a dream.
There are other lands in the world which are considered to be colonies of a mother country. All of them have gained new hope because of the policy of the United States in regard to us.
All right, so you have what you wanted. Okay. Then why should we foot the bill to keep you that way? Answer me that one.
But the war has taught us, or it should have, that where you have insecurity, even in one place, the rest of the countries are not safe. But it is more than that. The Philippines need help.
See, see. Our industries have been destroyed. If the Japanese had bombed Philadelphia or Chicago, would your government help the people of those cities?
Of course.
Then what difference is there? When the bombs came here, we were under American government.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
And we were American nationals. With the help of the Philippine Trade Act, our industry and agriculture will have a chance to recover from the blows they have received.
I never heard of this Trade Act. What is it, Professor?
Well, for the next 8 years, a certain amount of Philippine products will be able to enter the States duty-free. And then, for the next 20 years, there'll be a tariff, which will be gradually increased. It's like teaching someone to swim in easy lessons. It'll be quite a boon here.
Do not forget that this will also be of aid to America.
How come? Looks like it was meant for you people.
Before the war, the Philippines used to buy many things from America. In fact, we were the sixth largest customer. If we can sell to you, then we will have money enough to buy from you. That is good business.
Yeah, going beyond just a business proposition, it's the least we can do for people who stood by us in the bloody, disheartening days of the war. Think a bit of Bataan and Corregidor, of the Philippine scouts suffering 50% casualties. And the guerrilla activity they put up in the islands all through the war. No, sir. Morally, we owe them a great deal. And has Uncle Sam been a spendthrift here since we took over from Spain?
From 1898 to 1940, the total spending of the United States in the Philippines was about $1 billion. But the greatest part of that money was for the support of our army stationed in the island.
Money for education, public works, government services, and even the salaries and expenses of the American Governor General of 1935 was paid for by Filipinos, not the United States. All the money we've spent to help the Filipino people couldn't rebuild even one block of the Manila business district.
So you see, Uncle Sam hasn't been playing the sucker.
Senores, Manuel and a class we must attend. Is there something else before we go?
No, I don't think so, thank you.
I might be coming around again if you don't mind. There are a couple of friends of mine I'd like you to meet.
It will be a pleasure. Come, Maria.
So long, thanks.
Bye, Sergeant.
Well, if you are ready, shall we go back into the city?
Anytime. Let's go.
Well, Sergeant, do you think that we've been a help to you?
Yes, sir. Now I can go back and really give those guys some arguments which they'll have to listen to. If I can convince them that the Philippines are really worth their time and effort, they can call me Big Noise or anything else they choose. I know this place doesn't look like the pre-war travel folders, but given time, it'll take its place as one of the new progressive independent nations.
Big Noise from Winnetka was written by Steve Allen, adapted and produced by James W. Talbot. In the cast were Edith Tackner, Dawes Butler, Crucian, Kyle Thomas, Bud Whittem, and Ben Wright. Bill Stewart speaking. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.